Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in Albany yesterday, the door quietly squeaked shut on the 2018 legislative year. It seemed that there was a distinct lack of political will or ability to pass any major pieces of legislation as the session concluded. Among the measures left on the table, the elimination of the cash bail system, additional gun control legislation that was proposed, decoupling teacher evaluations from student test scores, admission standards for New York City specialized high schools, which is up to the state, not the city, ethics legislation, which always gets left behind, legalized sports betting, now that the Supreme Court said states can do that, and recreational marijuana legalization, and renewing and increasing funding for New York City traffic cameras around schools. Even that is up to the state. But it's not like there's nothing going on. The governor's race is really heating up with a new contender now, if you haven't heard, in addition to Cuomo and Cynthia Nixon. And the governor now has state health department recommendations for full marijuana legalization. In a conference call with reporters on Tuesday, Governor Cuomo said that many of the proposals he championed earlier in this year remained unresolved in the legislature.
The issues that are left on the table, which have been left on the table since April when we couldn't resolve them, are fundamental philosophical differences. And really, in many ways, this is an election year, and the people are going to decide these issues in the election.
So joining us now to delve into Albany's unfinished business and the new contender in the governor's race are Karen DeWitt, Capitol Bureau Chief for New York State Public Radio, and Fred Mogul, WNYC's state politics reporter. Hi, Karen. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, good morning, Brian.
Fred, why was there such an unwillingness to get anything major accomplished when so many major proposals were considered serious from that list that I read?
Well, it's I don't know if it's unwillingness all around. I mean, there's one side, as the governor just said, that really wants several things and another side that doesn't. We should also point out that there are Republican priorities, too, you know, that things that they wanted that they didn't get. So it's not it doesn't fall exclusively to the governor and the assembly and the liberals and the Democrats. All that long list that you rattled off at the top of things that didn't get done. They just really are deadlocked. And in the Senate especially, there is no margin for error. There was a 32-31 majority to the Republicans. And that sort of effectively went down to a 31-31 tie. So it really was the very definition of gridlock there.
31-31, because one of the Republican members is serving on active military duty for the moment, right?
Right, Tom Croce from Long Island.
So, Karen, this certainly puts a spotlight on how important the elections are this fall. With basically a tie in the state Senate, the Republicans could take control and have a lot to say about what does or doesn't get through, or the Democrats could take control. And since they already have the House and the governorship, assuming there's still a Democratic or progressive governor, then they'll really be able to do a lot of things that have been gridlocked. So there's so much at stake in this fall's election for state Senate, right?
That's right. I think the Democrats really do believe that they're going to take control based on the way everything is going. But I would say don't count the Senate Republicans out. They have managed to hang on in many ways for a long time. But it was a very strange end of session, and I've been here a long time, longer than I care to admit. And it just seemed like the day dragged on. Nothing happened. At a certain point in the evening, they ice cream. They gave nice speeches about each other and the people leaving. But what was even stranger is Governor Cuomo was here at the Capitol. His offices are one floor below where the Assembly and Senate chambers are, and he was just remarkably disengaged in the whole process. In fact, he had set up a little camera and light in his office, and he was calling around to the cable news channels. He made six appearances, all talking about, you know, the immigrant children, which, of course, is a very important issue, and everybody's very, very upset about it. But I have seen him and other governors be able to multitask, talk about an important national issue, as well as negotiate an end of session. But I think he just didn't want to be seen as losing. As you mentioned, he has an awful lot of challengers now, Cynthia Nixon, Stephanie Miner, the Republican Mark Molinaro, and I think he probably thought, with the Senate gridlocked, I'm not going to get any of these issues done, so why venture so they can just all criticize me when I don't get anything done? I'll just pretend that it's over and we're moving on to the next thing. But it was remarkably a very strange, like, kind of split world where you had all this activity on one floor of the Capitol and the governor on another floor just talking about something completely different.
And listeners, if you have any comments or questions about New York State politics at this time when there's so much in play, 212-433-WNYC for our Fred Mogul and Karen DeWitt, 212-433-9692. Let me and have you two help me introduce the person of Stephanie Miner to our listeners. Some people know who she is, and we'll play a clip of her in a minute, but former mayor of Syracuse, considered a progressive wing Democrat. And Fred, she was the one who a lot of people had their eye on, if anyone was going to challenge Andrew Cuomo from the left in a Democratic primary this year, before Cynthia Nixon jumped in. So who else is Stephanie Miner, and what did she announce this week?
Well, you know, she has been in the wings. She's a rising star, might be a little bit much, because I don't think she has a statewide stature. But she had a reasonably successful two terms as mayor of Syracuse. I think there were some controversies that dogged her that went unsettled. But overall, I think she's pretty well liked within Democratic circles in central New York, and she'd been sort of laying the groundwork. She had previously been an ally to Governor Cuomo in years past, but has raised her profile as a reformer, as an advocate for ethical and good government. And so you know, she was the one who we thought would challenge. You know, she did a little bit of a Hamlet routine, would she or wouldn't she? And then it seemed like her moment had passed. And then really, and somewhat out of nowhere, you know, she said that she would indeed run, and that she thought there was a place for, you know, for her to contend for the nomination.
Karen,
I would just add that Stephanie Miner began her political career working for Mario Cuomo, the current governor's late father. She was the regional representative for Central New York and close to the Cuomo family. She was a co-chair of the Democratic Party when Andrew Cuomo got in, and they had this major falling out over state aid to cities. She wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, and she's been really kind of an enemy of Andrew Cuomo for all of ever since then, for the last few years. So she she's really seems like she wants to, you know, make some points against him.
So with Cuomo's big war chest and with Cynthia Nixon taking so much of the media attention in the area of challengers to Cuomo, here is Stephanie Miner acknowledging that there are challenges to her new candidacy.
Challenges are clearly there, and I am well aware of them. But so is the sense that this is an opportunity and a time for a message and a very when people are seeking out choices and saying that the system isn't working and we want something different. And so, you know, for better or for worse, my path in life has always been the harder path.
So, Karen, did she set out any policy distinctions or qualifications distinctions with Cynthia Nixon in particular if she's running a three-way race?
Yeah, she's not quite as liberal as Cynthia Nixon. She said that she had reservations about extending the millionaire's tax, saying she was afraid that rich people would leave the state. She wouldn't necessarily sign on to a $15 minimum wage statewide, making the point that there's some upstate areas where it just might not be affordable for employers. She talked about the high property taxes and talked about actually cutting the budget, cutting government, though she said that what she would cut is economic development programs, which are, you know, the subject of the corruption trials that are going on right now in New York City. But I think, you know, the reason why she's running, and what does she really have to to lose at this point. She was term limited out of being Syracuse mayor. And as she just said in that clip, you know, she feels like her path has always been the hard path. And it's true that the national parties, they are seem to be disintegrating. We're seeing that happen before our eyes. So this new group that she's with, the Serve America movement, you know, maybe something is going to come out of it. I think really she, you know, what is the downside for her doing this right now, even if, you know, she loses and loses badly?
Fred, what would you add?
No, I mean, not too much. I mean, I think there were some other options for her. You know, in either state or federal legislative positions for a possible next step. But I think she wants to put herself out there and, you know, at least get a little name recognition broader than she's had and perhaps, you know, make another run later, particularly if Governor Cuomo, you know, moves on eventually.
What?
Go ahead. I would just add that it could really shake up the November scenario, too. Say Cynthia Nixon doesn't win the primary against Cuomo. She stays on the working families line. So you have Cynthia Nixon. You have Stephanie Miner, who is now an upstate, is an independent. You have the Republican candidate, Mark Molinaro, and you have Cuomo. They would all be taking votes, conceivably, away from Andrew Cuomo. So it would make the race a lot more volatile. And
so Miner, Stephanie Miner, yeah, like Nixon, is running in the Democratic primary, but also might be on her own.
She's going to be an independent.
She's only going to be an independent. She's not going to be in the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's an important point. She's not running in the Democratic primary.
No, and this group, Serve America Movement, is made up of former some Republicans, some Democrats, some Republicans that worked for Condoleezza Rice and George W. Bush and some Wall Street types that said they were just done with the two major parties after 2016, saying this is the best you could offer us, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. So it's this whole new movement she claims that they found her on a podcast, which shows how popular podcasts are getting. Mm-hmm. And they approached her and said, you know, well, you'll be our candidate. And she didn't mention figures, but I guess they're going to try to get some money to her.
And this is a pre-existing movement, the Serve America movement. What is this group?
Well, I know is, you know, I was looking it up on the web. I hadn't heard that much about them, but it is a group of people who have resigned from the Republican and Democratic Party, and, you know, as I just mentioned, quite a bit of insiders who have worked in the White House, have worked for Condoleezza Rice, as I mentioned, Wall Street managers, you know, not like a super liberal group, but I guess people who just are kind of movers and shakers but are just fed up with what's going on right now.
Fred, have you had a chance to look into them yet?
Not a lot. I was looking at them a little bit the other day on the Center for Responsive Politics website and the Open Secrets website. But I was looking at them in a different context because I did notice that they were backing the Democratic challenger for the Staten Island congressional seat, a young man named Max Rose. So I don't know that they're completely postpartisan. They're weighing in that Democratic primary. He's one of six candidates running to challenge the Republicans.
And I'm looking at their website now, and it says the Serve America Movement, they call it SAM, as an acronym, was founded in the aftermath of the 2016 election by a group of concerned but determined everyday Americans. Well, we don't know if they're so everyday, if they work for the political insiders, who believe that the American political system is broken. The two parties have given us division, gridlock, and little progress. We are forging a new path, a new political party, building a new political party for a new majority, those feeling abandoned by the Republican and Democratic parties and looking for a better, more inclusive path forward. They have a red, white, and blue logo with both a donkey and an elephant. And I don't see particular policy positions here, but it sounds like from that language that they are going to position themselves, as you were indicating, Karen, kind of in the center.
Yeah, I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people. I mean, there's more independents are, you know, growing than people joining these political parties. So it may not be this time. And you know, look, Andrew Cuomo, it seems like he's going to win re-election, but boy, the covering politics, especially lately, you never know what could happen. But I don't think he would ever run for a fourth term as governor. So suppose Stephanie Miner does okay and sets herself or up or any of these candidates, you know, there's going to be a next time in a few years. And she's a relatively young woman, so she's got plenty of time.
Maria in Morningside Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Hi there. I'm following up a call I made about 2 months ago, right after Cynthia Nixon jumped in, saying that I had hoped Stephanie Miner would get in. I know her from going back. I don't know her personally, but her record in Syracuse on education was really good because they were part of a program where all of the entities of the city had to be very transparent about their spending in order for this grant to be given. And I think she could run a fabulous open the books campaign against Cuomo because we have no idea where all the money goes under him, how anything gets paid for. Even DiNapoli said that to me at one point. How's the Tappan Zee Bridge paid? Nobody knows. And she also, there's a good article about her in Politico, an interview with her where she said the $4 billion on these economic development things she would put into infrastructure, that they haven't produced any jobs at all. So I think this is fabulous. And I also want to add, the Working Families Party specifically said when they backed Nixon that after the primary they reserved the right to change their backing.
Not only, and Maria, thank you so much. Fred, not only reserved the right to change their backing, but the head of the Working Families Party, Bill Lipton, said on this show that the intention would be, if Cuomo wins the Democratic primary, to change their endorsement to Cuomo, remove it from Cynthia Nixon, so that there isn't the threat of splitting the progressive vote and electing a Republican as governor. Is there any reason to think that that won't happen?
No, I think that's part of their kind of governing principles. I don't know if it's in their original charter, but they do see themselves as the liberal conscience of the Democratic Party, as an alliance of activists and organized labor. It's been a very fractious alliance, to put it mildly, over the last few months with choosing Cynthia Nixon over Governor Cuomo. But they do not want to completely abandon and undermine the Democratic Party come November.
Fred, how about the Republican candidate, Mark Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive? He's going to be the nominee. That's determined, right? There's no primary or meaningful primary on the Republican side in September?
That's correct. Yeah, no, he sort of effectively won it by acclamation a month or two ago.
And what's your best sense of how he's going to run against whoever the Democratic nominee is and Stephanie Miner?
Well, I think he's been sort of biding his time a little bit and kind of trying to build a little momentum, a little presence statewide. He's known even perhaps less broadly than Stephanie Miner, but I think he's going to be attacking Governor Cuomo from many of the similar things that the people on the left will, which is in particular the ethical scandals that have surrounded the Cuomo administration, the trials we're seeing in New York this week and the previous ones, and just the general, you know, stink that has not gone away in Albany, despite then Attorney General Cuomo's promises to come to the Capitol and clean it up. So I think that's going to be one of the big things. And then there's a very classic Republican agenda that this is, notwithstanding Governor Cuomo's tax reductions and so forth, that it is still a very highly taxed state, and it is still one with relatively generous government benefits, particularly in Medicaid and so forth. And so this traditional Republican push to reduce the size of government.
I would just add that Mark Molinaro has distanced himself from President Trump. He said right away when he started his run that he didn't vote for Trump. But the downside of that is he's not going to get any money from any national Republican group. So it's just going to be hard for him to get his name out there. And I think it's going to be a bad year for Republicans. He's more, I would call him more like a, you know, to use an old-fashioned term, a compassionate conservative. He's conservative, but he grew up poor on social services programs, so he believes in them and he doesn't want to cut them. He believes in government helping people. But on the other hand, it just seems like there's so much resentment against Trump and the Republicans that it's just going to be a, really an uphill battle for him unless the vote gets split between Cuomo and some of his other challengers in November.
Last thing, Karen. The governor now has a recommendation from the state health department to legalize recreational marijuana. Where does it go from here?
Yeah, some critics are saying that's the Cynthia Nixon effect because he was calling marijuana a gateway drug just about a year ago. We haven't seen the study, but because the legislature adjourned and the governor didn't introduce a bill, it won't. There's no chance that there'd be legalized recreational marijuana until 2019 or afterward in New York State.
And Fred, the report hasn't been made public, as Karen said, but the health commissioner said they looked at the pros and cons of legal marijuana and decided that the pros outweigh the cons. Did they put any meat on those bones?
No, it was pretty vague. And the governor said, you know, things change, the facts change, he said. But the facts he cited as changing were actually that New Jersey and Massachusetts are considering legalizing recreational marijuana. He didn't talk about the medicinal or narcotic or biological implications of smoking marijuana. The only thing he really alluded to at all were these adjacent states. So there's that. You know, we'll just have to see what's in the report, whether there's a media rationale for it. Certainly the specifics of the recommendations, what age people it would be appropriate for, under what circumstances, how it would be dispensed and sold. There's a lot of details that need to be worked out.
When are they going to release that report to the public, Fred?
I believe the word is soon, but it has been that word for a while. Karen, I don't know. Do you have any better sense of
no,
what soon means?
We've been hearing that for a couple of months. I guess when it's advantageous to the governor to do it would be my guess.
WNYC state politics reporter Fred Mogul, New York State Public Radio Capitol Bureau Chief Karen DeWitt. Thank you both so much.
Sure thing.
Thanks, Brian.